Come on around back, Arizona homeowners. Let's move off the coffee table and away from the couch and get out in the yard and get our hands dirty. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House. If you have a question, in particular this week, second Saturday of the month, a tree question, John Eisenhower, certified ISA arborist, is here in studio ready to take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions into 411-923 or email tree insect identification help to 411-923. That number is available during the broadcast only. I'm Romy. Rosie's right here. Jennifer's behind the board ready to take your calls. And Mike, Gary D's making all the magic on the board. It's a beautiful day, Mr. Eisenhower.
It
is. Kind of hard to come inside. The smells and the overcast and the desert aroma. Like, man.
I never thought I'd hear myself saying hallelujah for anything under 100 degrees, you know?
You know, John, it's like in March and April and May, 90 seems so hot. But boy, long about September, October, boy, that 90 feels pretty good, doesn't it?
It does. And it feels good.
It's almost chilly out here.
I know. We were saying that the other morning. I almost feel a little chill in there, don't you?
Yes, yes.
I know. Well, the trees love it, too. When it gets below 100 degrees, it's a real relief to the plants. Because especially with a summer like we had with those 110-degree temperatures in June that persisted for like 3 weeks, and then another several periods of 110 degrees through the entire summer, a lot of plants that would normally make it through a regular hot summer just were really flagging. We finally lost a plant that we've kind of nursed through the summer in our yard. It was a new planted tree that I put in the spring. And it just, you know, I probably should have built a shade structure over it, but I thought, well, no, I'm just going to keep on watering it and care for it. Well, it finally just packed it up a few weeks ago. And we had to be out of town a few long weekends, and I couldn't be there to baby it.
That can make the difference.
But it would have made it.
That can make the difference.
But it would have made it, I think, if it had just been a normal hot summer. But this is one of those summers that will go down on record. June was the third hottest June on record that we've had. When it starts that early, and then you have this persistent 110-degree temperatures all the way through July and August, all the way almost into September, it's tough on plants.
And us, too.
Yeah. No, a beautiful day, a little overcast today. It's really nice.
Hey, did you happen to take advantage or get out in the yard? You have a beautiful backyard. Did you get out there in this full moon series this past week and watch the lightning demonstrations on the rising moon?
No, I didn't see it on the rising moon, but Kim and I were out on the pool deck the other night watching that big storm that came the night before last. It was really nice.
Some spectacular lightning demonstrations this week. We had a red full moon coming up. I think that was Tuesday night.
Lightning
over at Usury Pass and over Fountain Hills and the McDowells. Lightning was just framing the rising full moon.
Wow.
It was spectacular.
Wow. I hope some photographers locally got a few shots of that. I bet those would be nice.
Romy's looking for some local photo shots.
You know, Rosie's 30th anniversary is coming up next year, and we have this home maintenance calendar we're putting together that people can put in their homes, and each month here's your to-dos to keep up with and just things that we forget about and they fall behind us. So it's just a way to help everyone keep on track of
home maintenance projects.
Like, yeah. The endless reoccurring home maintenance projects. But we wanted to have a lot of fun with it too. We've got a section of it dedicated to a little bit of Arizona history each month, and we've got a section designated for pictures from around the state. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to open that up to our listeners? So if you've got it has to be a picture you personally have taken of a great Arizona landscape or wildlife, email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com. You have between now and the end of the month to submit it. Then listeners will be able to vote for 2 weeks beginning October on which pictures will be selected for the calendar. So
tree pictures too?
That's a landscape. That's, you know, that's part of us.
There's the monument tree, right? And then the heritage tree, right?
Champion tree is the biggest tree of its species known on current record in the state. Heritage tree is one that was old enough is old, back to prior to statehood, which would have been, you know, 1912.
It was in existence before statehood. Wow, that's pretty cool.
So if you've got a plant or landscape, wildlife, Arizona picture you think is good enough to be voted on and selected for the first ever 30th anniversary Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, email it in. And the listeners will get to vote. We're not voting.
And I'm with John. If you got a picture of that lightning show with the rising full moon the other day,
that's got to be a winner.
I'll make sure that wins.
That'll get onto the Rosie Facebook page.
I don't think we're going to have to make sure it wins. That's just going to naturally.
It was absolutely gorgeous. John, let's get back up in the trees here.
Yeah, for September, just because the temperatures start to drop, there's a few things just to keep in mind. That it's a great time to resume a little bit more pruning on your trees. You don't want to be stripping off their winter coat just before the cold weather. But if they're getting a little heavy, some of your more vigorous tree varieties, you can start doing a little bit of pruning now. Better than in October, November, December. That's a little too close to the cold weather. But now's a good time to do that last fall pruning just to get your trees ready for the holidays. Make sure the yard is looking a little more tidy as you turn the corner into the holiday season. Also, planting and transplanting is a great, great time to do that as well. Again, because the daytime temperatures are dropping, but the soil temperatures are still warm enough to sustain a new plant. Great time to put some plants in the ground. And finally, and more, real importantly, we've mentioned this many times, this is a time to do your annual fertilizing. Many people fertilize periodically through the year, which is great. They take an annual dosage of fertilizer and then break it into three or four treatments throughout the season, like many of our citrus customers do that. But if you only fertilize one time a year, I'd recommend that you fertilize in the fall. The research has indicated that it's really the best time because the trees utilize those stored nutrients for their spring push of growth. Even though trees start slowing down growing above ground during the winter, especially our deciduous trees, the roots remain active in the soil, incredibly active, right through the winter season. Because the soil temperatures are moderated, the root activity can continue despite the fact that it's cold above ground. So a good time to put the fertilizer in the soil now. The trees utilize it, they store those nutrients, and then they're ready for they hit the road running, so to speak, in the spring.
And it seems like you're talking about the root growth in the winter and it's developing. Seems like I heard somebody say something one time. It was kind of catchy and clever. As go the roots, so go the shoots.
Hey, well, good memory.
So all winter long, those roots are developing, which means spring and summer comes, and here comes the shoots, the tree growth.
There you go. Yeah, what happens below ground dictates what's going to happen above ground. And if we treat the soil, we'll talk a little bit about that today. If you treat the soil well and get a nice growing environment, that's so critical. If it's neglected, or if you don't have adequate space for a growing tree, eventually you'll have problems above ground. And a lot of times when we have symptoms that are presenting above ground, usually those are the things we can see. We often don't correlate it to what's going on below ground. But that's our real key to healthy trees is making sure that we're attending to that root system, making sure it's a good growing environment. We'll talk a little bit today about fertilizing and how that helps and how we go about it. There's really the ISA, the tree industries that we associate with the trade industries, and also the ANSI standards dictate that we should do prescriptive fertilization. And we'll talk a little bit about why that's important. And we'll also talk a little bit about composting, a key part of an overall plant healthcare program. And it's really awesome in the fall because now we've got all our leaves are going to start to drop off our deciduous trees. And it's a great time to be raking those leaves and creating a compost pile. And if you don't want to create your own compost, at least think about buying some finished compost from a local nursery and beginning to put that around your trees as well. In addition to the benefits of fertilizer, compost is an amazing contribution to the landscape. And today we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
And do we have a tree this month?
We do. It's one of my favorite trees. I have so many favorite trees. There's an unlimited list.
He says that every
month. That's why I said you should talk about one every month.
I'm glad we have one every month so I can have 12 of my favorites. You know, the one we want to talk about today is a carob tree. And it's a very awesome green, evergreen tree. Beautiful, dark green, waxy leaf, dark brown bark. But it puts on this fruit from which we can get carob powder. Many of you have seen carob powder in health food stores. You can actually process these if you have a carob tree. You can process the fruit very, very easily, and it's they're wonderful. We eat them on the job site. When they drop on the ground, they're a large pod, sometimes up to 6 inches in length, about an inch or so wide, and they're just a caramel, buttery flavor. They're just amazing, just a very wonderful natural sweetener. And no, I love carobs because they do give you a little return on your investment, just like all of the fruit trees that we plant.
So that's not one you hear a lot talked about. Is that a rare one to find? You have to really go search for it at nurseries, or will every nursery have it? It's just one that is overlooked regularly.
No, I think they're available. They may not be as common as some of the ones around. That's why we like to mention some of these, because I think they are underused in the landscape. You'll see all your kind of top 5 or 10 trees that the nurseries are recommending. But the carob tree is one of those. It's a little more slow growing, which is probably why a lot of the nurseries don't plant them, because they take a little longer to achieve their landscape purpose. And usually customers and installers are looking for that plant that's going to be, or a tree that's going to achieve its landscape purpose quickly, and they'll have instant shade. Carob trees are a little slower growing.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Join the conversation.